Good morning. We're continuing the Chayyadim, and we're learning Kla Yud Zayin, and we're looking at Simon Zayin. Simon Zayin is a short Simon. He says, so besides the fact that there are certain things you cannot do in a shul, there are certain things that a person has to do in a shul. So it's appropriate that they should sweep the shul. It's appropriate that they should be roivets, not be marvets. Over there was when they had shuls made out of, or buildings made out of dirt floors. So the dust would rise into the air and become uncomfortable. Putting down a small amount of mist would keep the dust on the ground. That's called being merabets. So but it would make it more comfortable to be there. It would leave make the place less messy because the dust would not be flying around in the air. Well, they could have Neiris the Kovet, and also we light Neiris in the shul, the Kovet, because of the Kovet of the Beis HaKnesses. And these Neiris should be lit during the daylight hours as well, because they're not there for the purpose of Uro, they're there for the purpose of Kovet. We'll see where Hashem when we get to Hilchos Shabbos. The halach is that a Neir, which is lit for the purpose of using it for light, a person can use for the Neir of Havdalah, but a Neir which was lit not for the purpose of giving light, but the purpose of Kavod, for example, Lo Aleinu, somebody's Nifter, and we light Neiris next to the mace. So those Neiris are not lit to give light, those Neiris are lit to give, as the cover of the mace. So those Neiris cannot be used for the purposes of saying the bracha of Eish and Motzi Shabbos, the bracha of Borei Mareho Eish. That has to be the Afghan of fire, which is lit that people will use either for benefit of heat or benefit of light. So the Neiris of the Beis HaKnesses, the Shabur points out over there in Hilchos Havdalah, should not be used for the purpose of Havdalah, because they're lit the Kovet. Then he will differentiate between the Neiris which are lit in the shul. They didn't have electric lights, and they light the Neiris in the shul for the purpose of being able to read. But besides the Neiris which are lit for the purpose of being able to read, there were Neiris which are lit by the Aron Kodesh, the Neir Tamid, etc., the Neir by the Amid, which they were not lit for the purpose of light, of lighting to be able to read. They were lit for the purpose of Kavod, so those cannot be used for the Neir of Havdalah. Excuse me, the Neir of Havdalah. So it is appropriate to give Kavod to the Beis HaKnesses by lighting these Neiris, and these Neiris are going to be true even by daytime. Simen Ches, Afilim Nechrevu. There's a halacha that there's a kedusha to Beis HaKnesses applies even after the Beis HaKnesses has been destroyed. And they still remain with their kedusha. Shenemar, Hashem Mosias Mikdashechem. The Rosh Hashanah says, "I will make your holy places, your consecrated places, I will make them desolate. I will destroy them." Look, see, Behepech, Mikdashechem, Hashemem. The version doesn't say that I will take your mikdash and I will make it desolate, but rather, which would indicate that the version is going to destroy the makom mikdash. But rather, it says that which is your mikdash, I'm going to make desolate. So it means it remains your mikdash. And so the kedusha is still there, even though the place has become desolate. So we have to act with a certain respect to this place of the shul, which was once upon a shul. Once upon a time was a shul, even though now it's no longer a shul. Chutz mikibud ribbutz. So the kavod does not require us to do kibud ribbutz over there. Which will mean the vegetation will grow there. The vegetation will grow there. You're not mechiv to remove it. Imolav emasavim. If weeds start to grow there, grass starts to grow there, so we cut down the grass, but we leave it there. So why would you want to leave the grass there? It's not very kavodik, but rather people will see it. It will make more of an impact. How bad the situation is that the place which is supposed to be was a shul is now desolate with grass growing there, etc. So the people, hopefully, that will shake them from their complacency, and they will take the steps necessary to rebuild build the shul. So let's say you did rebuild a shul, not this shul, but you rebuilt a different place, and now you no longer, the people in this community no longer need a second shul. They have one shul which everybody's happy to daven, and they already built this new shul. So now we don't, what's supposed to happen with the old one, which was Nechrav? So you cannot even use that area of the shul, even though you built a new shul. So they built a new shul, and now old shul is still, it's charev, but the place is there. So while it's in a state of being charev, you still have a chiyuv of kedusha. You can't act there in an inappropriate way. What he does say is there's an idea of mechira that we'll see later on that there is a concept of mechira of a shul. Although later on, this was a common issue in America for many years, as the neighborhoods would empty out of the Jews, so they would have to sell the shul buildings. So not getting involved in how to do that. And the person could sell. There is a way to sell a shul, and when the shul is sold kedin, it's sold correctly, so it no longer has kedusha there. But as long as that has not taken place, so the luck is that they cannot be mezalzel in this makom, still has kedusha in it, and therefore you should put a getter, some type of a getter around the place, and people should recognize that this is the place where you can't just go and act any which way. It has a kedusha to it. Have a good day.